There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Watch the 7 car get up on its side. Look at that. That is wild. I thought I saw that. Wow. Unbelievable.
One car riding on the wall on the driver's side door the full length of this short straightaway past the start-finish line. All we could see is the bottom of the car up against the safer barrier.
You all right, man?
Yeah.
Do we cross the start-finish line?
Yes.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Welcome to Stacking Pennies, guys. Corey LaJoy here. Finish of the Geico 400 on my roof. Wild race, wild finish. We're going to break all things down. Talladega with my buddy Ryan Flores, front tire changer, Ryan Blaney's Ford Mustang. How's it going?
That was good.
You had an exciting weekend. So let's just, before we get into Sunday, let's break down your modified debut at Bowman Gray Stadium.
Oh, man.
On Saturday night.
That was fun. We went up there. They had practice Friday. We broke a motor. Mm-hmm. Drove for David and Derek Hill, Hillbilly Racing, mm-hmm. which we talked about last week. You've driven for them before, and we broke a motor, so we took our time, fixed it all day Friday, had another motor come in. It was fun just to get to hang out with the guys, kind of go back racing. You know, we weren't worried about anything else other than just racing.
So watched it on Flow on Saturday night, did a good job, finished sixth,
just kind of hung out first 200, but like even trying to hang out there, it gets a bad rip. I think people talk about like the wrecks and all that, but what I learned is that a lot of the problems come from the Nerf bars. Like you don't line up perfect and then you get up over top of them and spin out, it's tough to pass under green. But yeah, Saturday,
17,000 people sold out,
dude. So we went there, practiced, did well, qualified, because we didn't get to qualify on Friday, so you can kind of, it's like Indy where you can re-qualify. So we started 12th, and then yeah, you walk out there for the race and I was like, it looked like the Roman Coliseum.
Oh yeah,
it was sick.
It's sick.
It's packed. And then
do you think that they can get with the times though and actually have some timing and scoring?
See, like the only reason I think that it would be better is for the first
accuracy
race, the sportsman race, I guess it was the first race.
Yeah.
Where they finish photo finish and it's like there can be some discrepancy. So it's like, what happened there? But also like there's some of it that I just wouldn't touch because as much as everybody says it's screwed up, if they fixed it on the, like, they would just bitch about NASCAR fixing it. Like it's everything you want racing to be, and then they're like, well, we can fix this, and that. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah,
on the Cup side, it is fixed, and everybody complains about that. And then you go to Bowman Gray, and so no matter what you do, you're always going to have, the racing people complain about it, but they're obviously doing something right because you could barely find parking, you could barely get in, and it was an awesome event.
I was going to text you to bring me some fried Oreos.
I never even got in the grandstands because it was just so packed. And then even after the race, I hung out after the race. A lot of people came down, had a lot of people give me a penny.
Don't they open the gate? So if you bought a grandstand ticket after the race, you can come down and hang out and get autographs and t-shirts.
Yep. Signed a couple autographs, talked to a bunch of people, listened to the podcast. And it was just, we do this stuff every week on the highest level with NASCAR. So it's nice to go back to the roots and just compete and remind yourself why you started doing this. And I had such a blast. I'll do it again this year. We'll go run a couple more races over.
Well, so that looked like a good time. There was one instance that was pretty impressive. You were able to knock somebody's air cleaner off with your right front tire.
Yeah, but never to be. I did. I got up over top of
Some fella
knocked his air cleaner off and landed just right before the pit gate. And I went and then I plowed it down in the one. I was like, oh, that was dumb. I didn't even know if the right front was bent or not. But it didn't even knock the toe out. Like the wheel was still straight. So
that guy's air cleaner was not straight anymore.
No.
It knocked the cleaner off.
Well, I said to David, I said, is he still going? He goes, I believe you knocked his carburetor off, Ryan. I don't think he's going anymore. But they, yeah, they had good bolts in our car. That thing stayed together. And like I said, at the end, we were able to scrap together. I would love to get a top five, but just a little bit too tight. I think if we go there and work on that thing for a couple of weeks, we can win one of them races.
That'd be sweet.
So
I don't think they'd like them northern fellas coming down here, them Yankees beating
them. I've been here half my life. I'm kind of a hybrid at this point. I'm not like a full-blown. I'm not like Teddy Christopher coming down.
That's, you know, true. Like I'm not like, or even Ryan Preece.
He's got some Yankee in him.
Yeah, for sure.
But not to be outdone, I get airborne and you say, hey, hold my beer,
hold my Celsius. Let me go knock somebody's air cleaner off too at 200 miles an hour.
It was scary watching because, like, you kind of, I wasn't watching the TV, I was watching live, and then I just saw you get up on your side next to the fence, and then you went out of view, and I was like, man, I hope he didn't get in the catch fence. So I didn't see anything.
That's the first thing I thought. Because, so rewind, and we'll start, let's not start from the very beginning, let's just start with the last lap. Because I've watched it back, like, four or five times, like, I was slowed down somewhat to, like, miss just the absolute smush of cars. And the five was in front of me, and I'm kind of woed down, and I get, like, pushed into it and just wedged. Then I go back and look at SMT, and the 41 and the 77 have not lifted yet. So it's like...
Oh.
I literally just got pushed into and then just, I don't know, flipped over, which kind of sucks because that is the way speedway racing has turned into. It's this fuel saving, like, we can get into that in a minute, but back up to the wreck. So you're going and you just are lined up like a cow going to the slaughter because you know you're going to crash. You know that whatever car is in front of you is probably going to see a little bit of puff of smoke and then smash, following the five here. And then you just kind of lift in, kind of, I think I'm in a good shape here, then shapapow, smash.
Well, you were going to be fine, but yeah, like you said.
You got cars coming in 30 miles an hour faster.
You got pushed from your driver's side door into the wreck.
Yep.
And there's nothing you can do there.
So the it wasn't really scary. You're up, like, okay, I don't really know where I'm at. When I was up on my left side, the right front wheel of the 77 came right in my windshield. And I was like, oh, boy. Oh, that was the left front. Oh, that was the 77. Yeah, yeah. So there was a wheel spinning, like, right here in front of my face. Like, oh, my goodness. Oh, ouch. Oh my
Is that
goodness.
You?
Yes.
Maybe you haven't lifted yet either.
Yeah, apparently not.
There's grip on the wall.
There's grip on the wall. Like, the rule is you aim right for them. That is wild. Holy macro. I didn't see the one out of the two's windshield.
See, as...
Hang on, guys. I got to get a top 20. I'm in the money.
As crazy as everything is, right? Like, it's like right there. Yeah, where the tires and that...
That was sketchy. So then right here, you slide on you're all up against the left side of the seat, right, bam, that one hurt bad.
So I'm glad at that last one where it just all landed on the stops. Pow, that's the
– Dude.
Shoots
through. Well, the
back.
First one, so you're hanging by your – essentially you feel the weight on your lap belt and your pelvis. So you're sitting there upside down, slide on your left side door, and then when it goes to the roof, everything went up like, ugh, and then you know it's coming and you're just waiting for like the pow. And it knocked the wind out of me.
If you end up on your left side, and the car's on fire, how
yeah,
are you
I was thinking
out?
About that for a second.
How do you get out?
Yeah, you're looking. You're like
you're
watching.
Not going
you're
roof
watching
hatch.
The. You're watching the asphalt like slide by your window net, and you're thinking like, man, I hope this thing doesn't catch on fire.
Yeah.
And it's sliding, slowing down a little bit, and then I'm like, okay, maybe if this thing ends up on its roof, I'll get out of the window net. But if it ends up on the left side, I don't know what I'm going to do.
You don't want to get out of the roof hatch at that point because then
it
the
might
car
roll back
falls
over.
On you.
Yeah, that would suck bad too. And all those little like glimpses of thoughts like bam, 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 but a lot of the times the decisions are made for you in life and it rolled back on all fours. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I
the
got out. It wasn't
are,
on fire.
The cars are built to take impact pretty much any way, but the worst one is when it comes down on all four.
Oh my goodness. Because it's just straight chassis.
And it just absorbs through you, through your spine.
Yeah, my spine absorbed today. It's pretty sore. My neck, my like high to mid back. But I'll get that worked on today, and I'll be good to go for the Monster this weekend. Eric Jones, I guess there that was he had a massive crash. So the Toyotas, they knew that they were going to be short on fuel, so they lined up and short pitted everybody trying to leapfrog. Yeah. I don't know what they were doing here. There's a big bump over the tunnel.
Oh.
Pushing on the opposite side of the racetrack.
Yeah, it looked like the 42 is a little aggressive with the push. Is that what it seemed like to you?
Well, you're aggressive with the push, but I think the bump's there in a turn three. The car's light. It's really bumpy. The cars are super harsh. And he's on the 23 gets 43 sideways, and then just, dude, piled. I drove by under caution, and I was like, oh, my God. I've never seen a car that flat before. So they took him to the hospital. I hear that he's doing okay, so I hope he's good to go. Gosh, that's a big lick, dude.
Denny.
How frustrated is Denny? What are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah, we just flipped this. That's got to be a weird Toyota meeting this week.
Oh my goodness.
They're going to have to let John Hunter lead the line from now on. You lead. We'll push you.
I don't even know if he's going to be invited to.
I don't know. Well, like you said, is it his fault?
He's not on him.
He's not on him.
No.
Okay. Well, but did it set it up to where you're going too fast down the backstretch?
No. Whatever it was.
I don't know.
It's not as hard as they made it.
Can you play that one more time? He's not on him at all.
No.
We're going to clear John Hunter's name out of this.
Yeah, let's clear the 42's name here.
Here we go.
Got him a little sideways early. He lifted. That wasn't the 42's fault. Not sure whose fault was it. We got to go sift through SMT. Nonetheless, they piled some stuff up there just racing around by themselves.
So what I just saw there brings me to our next point.
What?
Water on the apron still.
Yeah. Which NASCAR is in a tough predicament there. You got to go. We got to go racing. The track itself is dry. It rained like a bear on Saturday night all the way up until about 10:30 in the morning.
Really?
Like heavy rain.
Now, you were in front of most of these guys before you pitted, right?
Yeah.
Did you just have
I don't know why. We took so much fuel, I guess, or we needed it. I'm not sure. Okay,
copy.
Well, and there's some water patches that I didn't know were there because I'm just kind of driving off the 3 car, and that thing lit the wick and spun the tires before I even knew what happened. I was like, what happened?
It's just there, in that guys? Right. It's just it's in right that there. Crevice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I had an idea.
Oh, yeah, if you would have wrapped the line. Oh, you got both tires in it. That's why you spun out.
Yeah.
The 9 still had left rear.
Yeah, so just little things like that can change the outcome of your day.
Let's hear the RPM. Whoa. Yeah. What was that? Well, I mean, that stinks because it puts you behind. And with speedway racing now, you can't lose any track position.
No. So let's go ahead and break that down because that seems to be the conversation topic of what speedway racing has turned into. Is the engineers and the OEMs now have studied it and they have figured out what is the most efficient and the best strategy to put your car up front when stage points are awarded and the end of the race track position. And when you have 40 teams worth of smart engineers that really only care, they don't care about how good the racing is. They don't care about
leave changes.
They don't get paid to care about that. That's not their job.
What an engineer gets paid to do is to dominate the race and make it as boring as possible.
Yes.
Like that's your job. If you're a race engineer, that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Because you get paid race bonuses. You're not worried about it.
I don't know the percentage of information being a non-key partner team. We get enough to be like, okay, this is how exactly the race is going to play out. This is exactly how much fuel you have to save. Normally on my dash, they put the lap times. So if you're a short track, you can just look at your lap times. If you start trying some different stuff, you can see if there was decent speed. Here they took that off and put throttle percentage.
And whoa.
Literally told me, hey, no more than 45% throttle here. And you just hold your foot at 45% throttle. You keep the gap close to you. If the accordion kind of opens up, then you go to like 50, and then you close the gap to not let anybody in there. But they say, all right, we need 40% here. All right, we need 50%.
When did that start? This time last year?
Yeah.
Because I feel like with us, we had the strategy this last Talladega race kind of perfect, where we kind of set back and then ended up winning the race with our fuel strategy. And then I think everybody had the same strategy this time.
Yeah. Everybody knows. Hey, the and in our radio, we were talking about it. The average running position for the people that won the stages was 20th the entire first half of the run. I don't know what needs to happen. I'm also on the side of we don't need to keep moving the goalposts, but we do need to make the sport turn it away from, like, we definitely don't need a fuel mileage race like we did to drop the green.
You made a great point when we talked yesterday, right? Everybody's so good. The teams are so good. The drivers are so good that we all figure, and Denny said it, I think, on his podcast last week or after Martinsville, that everybody drives the cars exactly the same because everybody's figured out the best strategy, the best ways to drive the car, the best way to set it up, so everybody goes the same speed.
Yeah.
And it makes it like F1's the same way.
Yeah.
Right? That's why there's not much parity in F1. The same guys finish up front all the time. I don't know. Listening to some other people that are way smarter than me, they're trying to go to like a single engine to where you don't have a super speedway motor. Like it's the same motor all the time.
Mm.
But I think just from a pit crew guy looking at.
What if we got rid of stages?
What if we had more stages? What if we had four to break it up? Like I think that our gas man said that in Miller race. He said they need to have an extra stage in here so you can just run hard all the time.
Yeah.
And then you know. But even at that, right? If you run hard all the time,
it's still
in the third stage. If you're just going to come in and do fuel only, right? You'll still hang out and be able to leapfrog.
It doesn't matter if there's 40 stages. If there's a stage every 10 laps, everybody's going to figure out what the ideal strategy is, and then everybody's going to do that in two races. That's just what it is now.
You just don't. But
I don't know what the fix is.
I think another problem is
it's not
all race long. When you guys were running super speedways, you would be working on runs and figuring it out, right?
Right.
Just like Brad did with the 34, kind of four laps to go, he figured out.
So I got to ride in the ambulance with Mike Dolan and had the whole thing broken down. It was pretty cool.
With
to
who?
To. McDowell.
Oh, yeah? He had it all broken
There was
down?
Legitimately seven of us piled in the ambulance back to the infield care center. Everybody's getting out, right? Everybody's getting out, and we walk to the – and the ambulance driver's like, we got room for two. And everybody's like, no. We're all going in this thing. We all want to get out of Talladega. So seven of us pile in there. I pop my head in. I'm in there first. Well, I thought I was in there first of the group, but McDowell and Cody Ware were already in there. And then it was Priest and Briscoe. And
Cody Ware was racing?
Oh, yeah, he was in there.
What race was it? What car was he in?
15.
Okay.
And a couple more. It was just a party in there. And McDowell said, well, how about that master class of controlling the lines? I said, that was pretty good. Because when they dropped the rag with like 27.
Wait, he called it a master class?
It was a master class up until the last lap. Because there was no chance. I was like, there's no way he's going to be able to block both lanes like he's doing right now without absolutely getting trashed. I thought it was going to happen like 25 laps earlier, to be honest.
There's no bigger wreck. I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but there's no bigger wrecks at speedways right now than the ones that happen off the bumper of the six car.
He was behind me one time pushing me when we were in the third lane, and I'm like, I don't know if this is the position that I want to be in. Because Bradley has a pretty good record of not helping the guy in front of him, really helping him go sideways and not really forward. So he got off my bumper, but then eventually put himself in position to win the race. So the play the tape of the last lap. So McDowell said that the six pushed him way out there, and it was like, cat and mouse game of trail breaking and trying to close the gap. So as you see, there's obviously a ton of carnage there, but big block to the third lane, came back down. He said he was fully 10 out of 10 committed on the blocks and just sits it on the left rear.
Yeah, because Brad, it didn't even look like Brad got into him.
Well, no, because it tank slapped.
It tank slapped, yeah.
You know, you're looking in your mirror and then you kind of overcompensate how much you're going to the left there. because you're going full sweep to the right, back to the left, looking in the mirror. Okay, where's he at? I'm full committed. Clear.
He just came down too fast. Is that just
came back too fast and almost overshot it, right, to where it just sat back on the left rear with some wheel angle.
You're dealing with Russ Wheeler there. Oh, your teammate, old Russ Wheeler, just drove right beside you and flipped you upside down from that angle.
It's what it was. But, you know, it could have been anybody. People, anybody that you just know that's committed to staying in the gas, coming to the checkered. It's not ideal, but unfortunately, that's just like the rules of engagement right now. You cross the white, you reach up, and you give the belt a little tuggy-tuggy to make sure when you get in the crash, you don't move around a whole lot. I'm glad I did. Legitimately, we crossed the white. I looked up. The flag was waving. I was like, okay, here we go. And still felt like I flopped around like a rag doll in there.
Yeah.
Then but
Tyler Reddick punches through. I thought that car is sick. Like, that's my – that's dude, like the white and the black and chrome.
Dude, that killer whale look dialed.
Oh, yeah.
This week. They dropped that scheme, and I'm like, ooh, that thing's going to be tough to beat.
You know,
sometimes cars just look fast. Cool
was two pit stalls down from us was the 45.
Yeah.
And MJ was out there like he was the tire guy. Like, yeah, jumping around with all the picker guys, like that, hugging all the picker guys. Like, he was – just he looked like he was just on the team, and then he was holding Bo, and like it was really cool. I was like,
saw those.
They stayed out in the pit box celebrating for like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and they were like, then they all kind of looked at each other.
I'm watching my car being winched up the flatbed, and he's out there doing donuts. I'm like, this is great.
Well, then they were like, they all kind of looked at each other like, where do we go now? Like, all right, victory lane. Let's go.
Let's go. How cool it is though. I mean, MJ is probably the most recognizable person in the entire world, right? Top three.
One of them, yeah.
I mean, if there's a list of five people.
His brand is maybe one of the most, like his.
No, if you ask the majority of people in the world, give a top five people of most recognizable, MJ's in that list for majority of them. And he's out here in Talladega, Alabama, jumping around holding Tyler Reddick's little kid.
Yeah.
That is freaking awesome.
There was a lot of people there yesterday.
Famous fails?
There was like the Alabama basketball team was there talking to him beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
Alabama football players, a lot of Barstool people.
Talladega's a spot to be, man.
My wife was really into it. I guess there were some vloggers there or something. I don't know. It just looked like, you know, when you kind of stand on pit road and you're to kind of tell who's like
famous
and who's not?
Who's that famous fella from the Hills or who Alex Weaver's engaged to? He was there.
Yeah.
Spencer something.
His name is Steven Spencer. Yeah.
I think it's Spencer.
Yeah.
Y'all know? Is it Spencer?
But anyway,
that's a good looking man. Not gonna lie,
Stephen Coletti,
is that what his name?
Yep,
I think it's Spencer.
Okay, well that's good. Just change the man's name if you want. Sorry, Alex, about your boyfriend's name, fiance's name.
He's a good looking fella. She did good.
But yeah, no, it was a lot of hype, and like people were like, "Man, these fans gotta hate this racing." And I said, "They
don't care.
These
for
guys
the race,
don't
dude.
Care. They are here. They, Talladega is like, oh yeah, there's a race too.
Yes, no." It's legitimately, it's like Mardi Gras with just encapsulated by a 2.66-mile racetrack. And there just happens to be loud noises every now and then, and you can be like, yeah! And then you get back to drinking.
Listen, as long as that dang big old truck comes with the American flag, you sons of bitches can run around half throttle all you want.
Give me liberty give me the Peterbilt.
There's two things they want. Pre-race and a wreck coming to the checkered. You guys check both the boxes. Everybody's going to forget what's in the middle.
That's 1,000% true.
That's what it is. So
give me Liberty and give me the Peterbilt, ladies and gentlemen.
We're going on the Dover.
Speaking of Old Glory flapping in the breeze, I got to ride in a damn Blackhawk.
I saw a little bit of that.
On Friday.
How'd that come about?
The track sent an email. So they usually organize like four or five things for the drivers to do if they want to. Right? They invite you to the big one on the boulevard, you know, opportunity. There's something that golfing or something. They just like line up four or five things to do. So the track say, hey, welcome to Talladega. Here, if you got a down day, here's some things you could do. Anytime I see anything with the military, I'm like, yeah, buddy, sign me up. Cause one, you give those guys appreciation. Those guys love it when you come out and just chop it up with them. But how many times do you get invited to fly in a Blackhawk? Not
dude,
often.
Sick.
So it was me, Eric Jones, and Kurt Busch. were the only three out of everybody that got invited to go do these things. So we're standing there, and these things come in over the treetops, like 5 feet. You know, they land and they divvy us up one per helicopter. And they do the little briefing, and you get in, they give you the headset, so you're hearing the chatter and doing all the stuff. And we, that thing gets light, right? The tires come off the ground.
Ooh.
And it took like 15 seconds for that team to get up, and they all take off at the same time, like super organized. And we fly over the racetrack, and I just had Creedence Clearwater Revival playing in "Some Folks Born Made the Way."
Is
to
that
play.
From Forrest Gump when the helicopter is that when that song's on?
Yeah, that's legitimately what was playing in my mind the whole time. So I go over the racetrack, and one, I feel like just a freaking patriot, doing nothing but just riding in this helicopter with the doors open. But I realized that there's nothing else in my life that gets my adrenaline pumping. Because I guess my adrenaline is certainly pumping on a Sunday afternoon every weekend, but I don't acknowledge it like that.
Yeah.
It's just like work, you know? It's just part, like one thing that you is just subconscious now. You don't realize that your adrenaline's up. You just manage it. And I'm in this bird, like, fired up.
Yeah.
Like, give me a gun. I'm going to shoot some shit. Let's go. So they fly us over. And they call it mapping. So, you know, when you get outside of Talladega, it's pretty hilly. And there's three of these birds, like 10 feet feels like, over the trees. And they land right in the middle of a 1,000-meter shooting range. And they let us legitimately blow through.
So how long of the flight was it?
15 minutes.
They brought you right to a shooting range. That's cool.
Yeah. And we shot like the latest and greatest sniper rifle. They had like a little computer on it and would tell you your windage and your yardage and all that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was 5 for 5 at 1,000 meters, so watch out. I'll pick your ass
anybody,
off.
Anybody miss?
I think Eric Jones was 0 for 5, and Kurt was 5 for 5. He was locked in. He might be ready for a comeback, judging by his sniper skills. And our buses were parked next together, but that's irrelevant. That was a top five moment in my life. It was really cool. And one of the coolest things at the end, you know, you got to meet a lot of special force guys. You got to work with a lot of cool guys, just talking a little bit of stories. A lot of guys obviously can't tell you classified information, which a lot of those guys are doing. But at the end, right, you get the flight back and you land, and both there's the crew chiefs, they call them, which are the ones that sit on the sides and look out, like to just kind of scope out where the other birds are. Then there's the two pilots. And just to hear the chatter and the communication between that bird internally, but also the other three, just to coordinate it all, was really neat. And at the end when we landed, they all ripped off their patches on the back of their helmets and handed it to me.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was pretty neat to be able to do that. And then we carried on with the racing the rest of that weekend, but I wanted to give you guys – and wanted to give those guys a shout-out too. Appreciate that. And all of the military men and women of this country to allow us to do what we do. So we're going to take a little break. That was some Talladega for you. We're going to do some pit road boats and woes right after this.
Nice.
Join Todd Goyne and myself each week for NASCAR Inside the Race. We'll break down exactly how the race was won.
Plus, we'll dive into the data and go in depth on race strategies, penalties, and rule changes.
Catch NASCAR Inside the Race, presented by Consumer Cellular, each Tuesday on NASCAR's YouTube channel.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Pit Road Boats and Woes time. There was a couple instances where I needed a boat leaving pit road because I drove through some water. And those Goodyear Eagles did not like the weepers that were on the entry and exit of pit road. A couple guys got bit by him, myself being one, but also the 11 and the 71 as well. I don't think we have video of that. The 71 hit a weeper, sped the first two segments of pit road because he couldn't get her woe down. But let's scope out the 11 spinning out here. This, I don't think he hit water. I think this was just a pow. He hit some water.
They're pitted right here at the end too, so it's like, all right, we're gonna do four.
Yep. So they come down here, really bumpy. Oh, he did hit some water right there with the right sides.
Ooh.
It and your max commit, right? Your max commit on the brake pedal. You're downshifting. You're on the verge of locking rear tires up. So if your tires hit some water, man, you're just a passenger trying to get a woe down. Here we go. Clean air, which is nice. And all of a sudden, you just whoop.
He wheel chop. Spray off of the.
Yeah, and you just can't get. Oh, wonder if that had any right front damage on the 11 for the finish of the day. But that's
tough.
They put
more on it because they wrecked again.
Normally, NASCAR would send the air tightens out there during a caution to work on it, right, to give some time. But there was just no natural caution, so they didn't have very much time to just sit there with a jet dryer and blow the weepers. We had to get the show on the road.
Shout out to the 11 team because you know that they were getting ready to just do fuel only there. You can see on his in-car that they
audible to a four-tire.
Jumped right out. You got to be – even when you're doing a fuel only, you got to be ready. So good on them. What's our next one here?
We know those guys are three-time-in-a-row dogs, so they're ready for anything.
Yeah.
See, well, we're taking a look at the 10 card now. We're also looking at these stops here on YouTube if you guys wanted to go check that out.
So here, Talladega, super tight pit road. So under caution, everybody's on the lead lap. So when you do four tires, he comes around the 24, and then the 19 comes around him.
Yeah.
And you don't have enough gear to really dump the clutch and spin the tires around him. So you're just kind of in a bad spot. He probably didn't stop short enough, but he also wanted to help the 24 out.
Well, he slid the front into the box, which nosed him to the left.
Even more than he should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are really large boxes in comparison, though.
They're tight though. They are tight. They're probably only 28 foot.
I don't know. I didn't get a measuring stick out there this weekend and look at it. I just felt like they weren't very small.
It depends on who you're around because they get small real quick. Was there anybody pitted in front of you or behind you?
Yeah, the 21 was in front of me, or like towards turn four. Then the 8 was in front of me. Didn't really have any issues. It was cleans in and out all day.
Yeah. They feel really nice and cozy.
Yeah.
When there's no one, when you kind of have the in and outs. But here we got Nick Hensley gassing the 22 team. This is something that a lot of really good gas men have worked on. He's going to plug in. Joey's going to start rolling. Then he puts a line. He has a dead man's line that we call it in the pit box. Ooh. That he can't step over.
Yeah.
Because if you're gassing, you can't gas that car. Once the front bumper touches that line exit, that's a penalty.
Mm.
So you have to unplug. So
that's a one-lap penalty.
Yeah,
right?
So they'll put a line like and ride it and watch that line and then unplug right when they get to that line. And then Joey, in turn, like in that situation, he comes into the pits, and then he looks in his spot mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And when he sees
it gurgle,
Nick knows that Nick's engaged, he starts rolling.
Mm.
And then that's when Nick kind of – rides it, and then we call it riding it out.
Riding it out.
The times that it gets sketchy is when you do have to angle in, or you have to angle out, and you get that sharp turn out. The Schultz heads tend to kind of get jammed on there, but there is a big difference.
That looked like a big fella too.
Nick's a normal size guy. He's not one of the biggest guys. He's a race car guy. He's not like
6'3".
He's not like a football player.
No.
No. He's a
normal.
He's
fella.
A road mechanic. He's like me.
Okay.
He's a mechanic that is good, really good at gassing race cars.
The last of a dying breed.
Yep, he does all of our pit boxes. He's like in the shop. If there's something broke on the pit box, he'll come fix it.
He had nice form.
He's one of the best gas men on pit road.
Yep.
Won a couple championships for a reason, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Won one with Brad in the two car. He's won with two with Joey. He's been around for a long time. And I challenge our listeners here and around the track, which comes out on Wednesdays, I do with Kim Kuhn, to watch for what a good gas and go looks like, because it's hard to tell what a good one is and what a bad one is if you don't know. But if you pay attention, like, that's a really good one, and you can see some that turn really bad real quick. So
We didn't see any gas cans drugged this week, though, did we?
Nope, didn't see any drug, no fires on pit road.
Nope.
So thanks for your guys for fixing the fuel heads. And
but my gas man was different this week.
That's what Kyle Larson put up a tweet. It made me think of you right when I saw it, because it was a hilarious tweet. He put up this. Morgan Shepherd was trying to prove a point to NASCAR at Michigan back in the day. So he got out of his car, pitted it, and then sat on the wall and ate a ham and cheese sandwich, and then got back in his car and drove away. So Kyle Larson,
what point was he trying to prove that pictures are too expensive?
I don't know what
they do.
I don't
pay you guys too much
money.
Was
getting at. Oh, yeah, okay.
So I agree with Morgan here. That, yeah.
You want to go down this road?
No.
You want to go down this road?
I don't know. Take it up with Morgan Shepherd. He's out there doing it himself.
Because you guys should all give your paycheck back because you just ran around half throttle all day.
Or at least half of it.
That's where we're going. So Kyle Larson put up the picture of Morgan pitting his own car and said, me today, since half our team has kicked out.
Hey, guys. That's me, because you took 3 out of my 5 pit crew guys this week.
So two of his guys, his jackman and his rear changer, got suspended for the wheel coming off in Texas.
Yes.
The gas man got suspended, I think, for a infraction on some SFI equipment,
yeah,
which NASCAR's been cracking on. I think it was even just in the Xfinity race.
Mm.
Which, if you get, I learned this week at Bowman Gray, you get suspended from NASCAR, you get suspended from NASCAR as a whole. Because they were like, hey, if you get suspended here tonight at Bowman Gray, you can't go to Talladega tomorrow. And I was like, yeah, that's not
going
to
be
then
good.
Why did I have to buy a separate license to come here and run? Like, let's talk about this
for
a second.
You didn't read the fine print.
I was like, what are we talking about here? So that's a bridge I got to cross. But
just don't fight anybody.
Hey, just or let's get back on the
front stretch.
So they lost Jackman, rear changer, Gasman, and then Jesse Saunders, their car chief, got kicked out for an infraction from rolling through tech. So yeah, they were missing a lot of their guys.
It might have been post rolling through tech.
Well, anyway, we can call Cliff and ask.
I think that's a sensitive subject.
Seems like the roof rails is a sensitive area too.
It sounds like there must be some juice.
I don't know much about it. But
yeah, you do.
That being said,
he says that he didn't have a pit crew.
Rolls downhill.
Yes,
and
it rolled right into our camp.
And you are downhill from the 5 team, so they take your guys.
3 out of my 5.
Yep, and they took your jackman, Ludwig, your rear changer, and your gas man, which this is a very important gas man race.
Yes.
Layman. Which in turn you get Devo guys.
Yeah.
The guys that don't go to the racetrack every week. Your guys go to the racetrack every week, compete at a high level. So really it trickles down to you, and you're the one that kind of
this week
I wouldn't say gets boned, but gets the least experienced guys.
Yes. My guys of my core group are some dogs. They're very good. Stallings, my carrier, said that he asked about getting made fun of about celebrating at Texas.
Yeah.
He had a bone to pick with you.
Well, he come pick it.
He's a big fella.
What are you going to do, beat me up? All right. I'm 36 years old. Are you going to beat me up?
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, man.
Depends how he feels about it.
I don't even remember what I said.
And you just said something about him jumping around.
Yeah, they were jumping around.
Maybe it was a great excited stop.
It was the second best stop of the day. It's a great job. But yeah, that's a good point about how, like, pit crews work. We talk about it a lot, how house car pit crews work and guys that get leased. You know, there's every team has some sort of ladder system like that. And, you know, it's not always what meets the eye, right? People just think Kyle Larson's guys are suspended, but it trickles all the way down. Even to this week, the 78 ran, and they had Hendrick guys on that. So then the guys that were probably supposed to be on the 78 were on your car.
Yeah.
And then they have to backfill again, and there's just not that many people. So yeah, you're just trying to get whoever can just get the wheels on at Talladega. The tough part is you go to Dover next week, which is going to be.
Yeah, that's what I'm a little concerned about. I would feel real good about our core group of guys, but unfortunately we're down 3 out of 5.
Dover's a place that's known for, you know, high load and loose wheels. So,
and you got good stops, hard pass.
Yep, and we'll get more into that. Some spare change we're doing later on today. Spare change is coming back, so we'll get more into that. Dogs of the week go to the 45 car. If you're celebrating with Michael Jordan on pit road, man, you win dogs of the week.
Dog.
So yeah, my guy who started changing with Houston Stanford.
Oh yeah,
Front changer Wade Moore, Devin Del Rico, who used to be on your car, Hendrick, he went over there this year. Nathan
dog.
Ricketts.
Dog.
One half of the Michigan Miserables, and Brian Deal, the dog of the day.
Dog of the day.
Yep.
Are we making a new
And when you win.
So there's dogs of the week and there's dog of the day?
Well, when you win the race as a gas man at a super speedway,
You're the dog of the day.
You're the dog of the week and the dog of the day.
Mm.
So good for them. They punched their way into the playoffs, and they get to celebrate with one of the best athletes of all time. So big day for the sport, big day for those guys, and a really cool paint scheme. And I know that they definitely enjoyed it. So
it's not coincidence that a car looks that good and ends up victory lane. That's just how it works.
Hey.
Car looks fast, it's going to go fast. That's
and didn't just, have any checkered flags.
I don't make the rules.
It
didn't have checkered flags.
Number was on a solid color.
Yep.
All the things.
It was majority white. Boxes. Majority white, and it looked like a killer whale. It wasn't an orca. It was a killer whale.
I thought it was a Mercedes logo on the side of the car, like at first glance.
Well, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
It was Jumpman. It was Jumpman. Circle around it. I wonder if he gets like, you know, Kurt's got the great story about the signed rookie card after his first one. I wonder like if Tyler, let's get him in studio and talk about his MJ experience so far.
Dude, yeah, it was so cool to see MJ holding Bo, spend some time with Tyler and his fiance this winter at our buddy Greg's wedding, and then again at the banquet, and they just talked about how, you know, how welcoming Michael's been, and, you know, they have a really good relationship with him. So it would be cool to have Tyler come in here. We need to get him in here and talk about his experience so far, and, man, he's done a great job in that 45.
Yeah. 23-11, punt keeps just hammering them out. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, good for them. I'm stoked for them. Hey, don't like getting beat, but it's good to see a new team. Like,
yeah,
it's good to see that new teams can come in and be successful, right?
Yeah,
because it's definitely an uphill battle. And MJ talked about that in his post race. He just said, you know, this replaces. He said, I'm all in, and this replaces that competitive, the competitive juices that need to be flowing. And he said, but this is way worse because I have no control.
Yeah.
He said, like, at least basketball, I had total control. I'd make it happen. Here, he said, I live vicariously through
his
the
guy.
Crew chiefs, the drivers, the crew guys.
Mm.
And, man, he was fired up. He said that Denny had been saying he was bad luck. And it turns out, I listened to a little bit of Denny's podcast on the way in this morning. It turns out Denny was leaving the track. But
really?
They didn't know who won because his gears were really ground about the scoring pylon.
Oh, his gears were grounded.
Oh,
he
was like, I couldn't even tell who won because there's no scoring pylon and I got no service on my phone, so I can't check my phone. Like, he was just going.
I don't like that. That really grinds my gears too. If we want to jump forward, I don't get it. I don't like it. Teams, instead of tearing these pylons down, need to be spending more money and making up to date pylons like Daytona.
I
will die on that.
I'll say this. I genuinely don't get too emotional about stuff like that. Like, I feel like there's enough people in racing that just fly off the cuff whenever something small changes. But I'll say this from a objective point of view. There was three times yesterday I looked at the looked for the pylon to figure out what was going on.
It
wasn't there. And I was like, okay, that's inconvenient. That's all I have to say about it.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit I was wondering this. Is it a little bit iconic to like one of our things to have a scoring pylon there? Because I think so. Like, I think when you go,
I mean, Richmond's got a cool one. Daytona's.
I love when you go to short tracks and they have a cool pylon.
Yes.
You know, and I don't know. That's
or even
it's a trend I don't like, love, but I don't want to have an opinion on it. I'll just say, like I said,
bring back pylons.
Looked for it a couple times yesterday. It wasn't there.
We need pylons.
I like the one at Wilkesboro. It's old school looking, but it's LED.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did the same thing at Texas last week. I went to look for it, and I was like, oh, it's not, where the hell are we running?
You just don't know.
No.
Sometimes you can't see the big hoss.
So, no, if your pit box is
But there's also not spot. A there's not a 36-car rundown on the big hoss. There's only, like, top five.
Yeah, that's tough. Like,
bring back pylons.
I will say the app is better than it's ever been, but it's still, you know, you have to look down at your phone if you're watching. It's harder to check off on. But man, I do like the NASCAR app, but I don't
like
know
the
that,
little stories.
I don't know that I'd like it. I don't know that I'd like it in race. Like,
no.
They want to use it.
Well, sometimes service isn't great, whatever. But you know what is great is the pay for thoughts question this week. Pretty good.
I'm Ryan Flores. Join Kim Kuhn and myself each and every week at Around the Track. We'll get you ready for the upcoming race weekends, from short tracks to the Cup Series, whether you'll be attending in person or watching from home.
Coming your way each week is the best bets to win some easy money and driver suggestions to help pump up your fantasy lineups. Around the Track also tells you what to watch for in the NASCAR Regional Series and which young phenom drivers to keep your eye on.
Plus, our At Traction segment gives you all of the fan activities, concerts, and tailgating fun at the track. Be sure to check out Around the Track each and every Wednesday on NASCAR's YouTube channel.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We had a couple Penny for Your Thoughts questions. First one comes from Higgy.
Oh.
Right here in studio. What's it like to step out of a race car and immediately get into a street car and drive? Is there any temptation to drive fast?
I get this question quite a bit, and the answer is actually opposite of what you'd expect. So when you're in the car, particularly like Talladega or Daytona, your peripheral vision just gets accustomed to going 200 miles an hour, so you don't like see trees or fans or anything else, and you're just kind of like looking, you know, in your general field of vision. But when you get, and then you get, your brain gets caught up to the speed of going 190, and that's just like normal speed. But when you get out, and most of the time when I'm getting, you know, you go to somewhere fast like Atlanta or Michigan, then you get into the car and you drive to the airport, it feels like I'm going faster because now my peripheral vision's picking up trees and signs and houses, and I feel like going 60 miles an hour is faster than going 200 miles an hour.
Wow.
Yes. Until you hit something. And then you realize how fast you're going. That stuff sucks.
You did that.
I did that.
Check that box.
Yeah. I figured I was due for a good big wreck, you know, knock on wood.
Well, but you like, got it out of the way.
I've been doing this long enough to where I hadn't had a really large one, nor flip. That was my first ever flip.
The biggest one you've had is with Newman wreck at Daytona.
Yeah, but I launched him into outer space. I stayed on the ground.
Can I tell a story about that?
Yes.
There's a famous picture of you that looks like you got out of the car and you're sitting next to the car praying.
Hang on.
Do you want to tell all you what was really going on there?
Yeah, so Daytona 500 pays 5x more than everything else. So you are fully in the fuel coming to the line. So I'm running like 7th. I see the 6 get turned broadside, and then it was just smoke, and I just kept it in the wood. And next thing I know, he was upside down, and I was underneath of him. The windshield smashed down, but the second I hit him, it was like the rock had a full running start and kicked me square in the balls.
Yeah.
So it knocked the wind out of me. My testicles were in my throat.
Everybody thought that Newman was hurt.
Yes. Because it was a massive, massive crash. Meanwhile, it knocks the throttle body off my car. My stuff's on fire. So I get out, and I take like 2 steps, and I'm like, I'm about to throw up.
So you're kneeling next to your car.
I look up at the scoring pylon. I'm like, oh, 8th. Yes, that's going to be a nice little payday. And I'm like, oh, God. And I was praying. I was like, oh, God, this hurts real bad. Oh, God.
But everybody thought that you were praying for Newman.
And there was this picture zoomed out from somebody in the grandstands. And people are like, oh, look at how thoughtful Corey is.
It's a powerful picture.
He is praying for his fellow competitor.
Yeah.
And it went like viral. It was on Facebook, getting thousands of retweets. And I let it go for multiple days because, you know, why would I impede this process?
Multiple days. I mean, however many days there was between then and here, now, this is where the
I've talked about this a couple other times. But yes, I did say, no, I wasn't praying for Newman in the moment. I was really just, I got kicked in the balls real bad.
Yeah, my nuts hurt.
But I appreciate y'all thinking that I really had the wherewithal to pray for a fellow competitor at that moment, but I did not.
Next question.
I digress.
CW_photo, what is the best thing you saw on the boulevard this weekend?
We generally stayed away from the boulevard this weekend, but we did take... I jumped on the golf cart after the Xfinity race, and we were just kind of cruising around, killed some time with the kiddos. And generally speaking, between the hours of like noon and 5 o'clock, the boulevard is like your regular old campground, except for some props here or there. So we were cruising around, and the fans are still trickling in from the grandstands of the Xfinity race and all that. So we took just a little zip through the boulevard, grab a couple cases of they're passing out Liquid Death.
You're the only guy that goes to the boulevard and gets cases of water, by the way.
No, that was the iced tea stuff.
Okay.
So got two cases of that. And then I'm cruising down, right, and Levi's driving the golf cart, and I'm working the pedals, and it was fairly tame. Everybody's getting ready. You know, they got concert stages set up, and they got all this stuff, and they got music blasting, and it was fairly lively. And then we just happened to see a mannequin with a hammer on it, with an American flag. And Kelly was like, drive, 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 drive. Exposing our kids this.
Oh.
Vile things.
And it was Dega.
It was Dega. So that was actually probably the least bad thing that there is to see out there. It's just a little prop. You know, people have some jokes. Just an American hammer out there swaying in the breeze.
It's like going to Alaska, getting mad, you see snow.
Yeah.
What's there, man?
Yeah. Can't get pissed off about it. Seemed like a lot of people had a good time. We just, we were in the bus when darkness fell.
The Arctic cooler.
Made an appearance with Noah driving it.
Yeah, so you built an Arctic cooler.
Drift trike.
Drift trike, yes.
Yeah, so that was cool. Arctic had a big setup this weekend, activation outside. They've been a partner, obviously, the show and myself for this year and last. And they wanted to do like a bar stool racer. And I was like, you know, a better idea. I've got a drift trike that we can just repurpose into a cooler trike. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but made it a 72-volt motor. Everything lived inside the cooler. Ended up being really trick. And then Noah drove that thing around the boulevard for the parade.
Did he tear it up?
The axle came back a bit more bent than what it had left at.
Hmm.
I didn't ask questions because I'm just glad it got some use, but. I think every video I saw of him driving it, he was on the throttle, which rightfully so. He's driving like he stole it.
Race car driver.
Yeah, we tend to hit some things, damn some stuff, but yeah, that was pretty cool. Any other questions? What we got?
No. Now we'll move on to Penny Stacker of the week. You know, any penny stackers?
Yeah, there's. I mean, I think I would give an honorary penny stacker to the Blackhawk pilots, but there was also, a lot of people at the Arctic display did an appearance there on Saturday before the Stack and Pennies live show with Daniel Hemrick, which was a good time. Some girl named Corey, she made custom overalls with NASCAR and Talladega. And
did you get a pair?
No, it wasn't my size. I was a little bigger than she was. She had a 7 on the back patch. And I signed her. I signed her overalls. So I think she went through. She went through a lot of effort to make those overalls. So I believe Corey is the penny stacker of the week.
I saw
C O R I. I believe is how she spelled
it. I saw some people before the race. They were behind our pit box. I didn't get their name, but it was a family, two kids. We signed. They had penny stacking penny shirts on. Signed their shirts and got to talk to them for a little bit. And then had a couple people at Bowman Gray. Especially Dave, who works on...
Yeah, Corey Turner.
Yeah.
Is the penny stacker of the week.
Good job, Corey.
There's lots of them, though. It was really cool. It was really cool to see everybody out in Talladega. Also, everybody, when I got out of the car, cheered. That was pretty cool.
Well, yeah. Hey, he's not dead. This
he's
is
not
great.
Dead. So I gave him a little wave. Appreciate that. Listen to the show this week. Listen to my experience. And keep it moving.
Yeah. I was trying to give some old buddy from Jason Myers' crew a shout-out, and you interrupted me.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Shout-out to him. You know what? You know why I know he's a real one?
How?
Because he said, man, Boats and Woes is the best part of the show. I said, amen, brother.
Yeah,
so, and then,
I wouldn't stand there.
Yeah, we had a bunch of people, and then Justin from China Grove came up, gave me a penny. He's with his family as well. So, yeah, a lot of penny stackers out and about this weekend. It was good to see everybody.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate y'all's support, no matter where you listen. But I would recommend going to check us out on YouTube as well. because they do a great job with social, with the clips and all the in-car cameras that nobody else can get except for here on Stacking Pennies.
I didn't get to watch much of the Xfinity or ARCA race. How were they this weekend?
Dude, the Xfinity race is exciting to watch because those guys have so many options to manipulate the air, to formulate runs. The cars handle bad because they're on narrow tires. You can put guys in bad spots. So
the drivers aren't 40%. No, the drivers and the people working on them are not nearly as good. So they don't have as good of a game plan. So people actually make mistakes where you guys don't make mistakes.
Yeah, the pack isn't as tight, which visually doesn't look probably as exciting. It doesn't look like a pace lap like we saw for the last 390 miles of our race. That's one element, right? The cars don't drive quite as good. The RCR cars are so much faster than everybody else.
Love it.
And they also can hold apparently 3 more gallons of fuel than everybody else.
Smoking Jesse units working on that thing up there.
Check the fuel line of that thing, because Jesse Love went like 18 miles past a normal fuel.
Hey, when your car's fast, it's easier to save fuel, I guess.
First career dub for Jesse Love. He's been knocking on the door all year in that 2 car. Pretty cool to see. And he's a solid dude, man.
He's a good guy. I talked to him this past week over at NASCAR. He was good. He was a good guy. How about – so that one had a bunch of precautions, a bunch of green-white checkers, but the ARCA race went green?
Yeah. I figured Jesus was going to be coming back on Friday afternoon.
The only highlight I saw was my indoor rival, Andy J, being a weirdo and eating a banana mid-race.
Yeah, there's a lot of other snacks that are easier to eat in a race car than a full banana with peel on it.
He's like a – from what I have gathered racing against him for a decade now, he won't drink bottled water out of plastic, and he eats super healthy. So,
but he delivers pizza.
But dudes, imagine trying to peel a banana with your gloves on.
Yeah, and then you got banana residue on your fingers for the rest of the day.
There's got to be a better option.
Yeah, they make a lot of things that you can eat. And also, it's an ARCA race. It's 45 minutes. How much refreshment and nutrition do you need for that?
Yeah, man.
But hey, maybe he was hungry.
What I know about Andy.
He knew he had an in-car camera,
and he was going to get on TV some way somehow. It would have only been better if he threw that thing out and
spun somebody out behind him.
Yeah, did the Mario Kart or somebody. But shout out to
A shout out to those guys.
What's James Finch's boy's name? Jake Finch. Yeah. Shout out to Jake.
He was in the Hyundai Daytona too in that ARCA race and got wrecked, I think, by a teammate. So it's cool to see him in victory lane.
Watch him grow up through the super late model ranks.
He wheels. That was wild. The ARCA guys, they must have heard the podcast from Daytona. A lot of bent feelings about that, but they proved us wrong. They went green to checkered. Quality competition there.
Awesome.
Love to see it.
Good on them, and see what goes down at Dover this week.
Love rolling into the Monster. Couldn't go much on different sides of the spectrum of driving 40% at Talladega, saving throttle with not much being asked of you in terms of driving the car, to rifling it off at 180 miles an hour into the banking there and driving her for all she's worth. Dover is one of my favorite places we race. It's going to be really fun, and got a little Monster in the front garage there from back in my old days, so it's always good when you know where victory lane's at. We generally run pretty good with our 7 Camaro. Just need to keep clicking them off here, get a couple good runs under the belt. It's been a tough little stretch, and I don't know. Not try to keep all 4 tires on the ground this week would be good.
Yeah, make sure you join us for some spare change later on in the week, and you – like, share, rate, review, watch on YouTube, follow Stacking Pennies on Instagram, all the good stuff. If you guys aren't watching on YouTube, on Wednesday, it comes out on Wednesdays, you're missing out. Higgy and Cam do a great job cutting out clips. They even dug up some old modified racing from Corey back in the day last week. So it really kind of puts a face with the name.
I'm sure they'll dig up the clip of you ripping that poor guy's carburetor off to a Bowman Gray.
Yeah, man. You know we saw what you did on the last lap, right? I'll shit them through a shade here.
Oh, mine was impressive. Yours is pretty good, too.
I just kept going.
So did I. All the way to the start finish line.
Yeah, we both finished.
Yeah, and then I got 120 laps to go. Ambulance and went on home.
Yep.
That's it, guys. Enough penny stacks for the day. Y'all have a great week. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Goodbye.